Yeah, me too.
But it ain't gonna be long. Ain't gonna be as long as it has. Think I'm closer to it today than what I was yesterday. So, but until then, we got work we need to do. But let's see what. All righty. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse number 1. Verse number 1 here in chapter 4 of the book of Colossians. And I want to try to bring you a message today on this thought. We have Christ. And when we have Christ in our life, we also have our master. He is the master that we must serve. And in serving this master, we must do the things the right way. We need to do the things his way, not my way, not your way, not the Independent Baptist way, not the Southern Baptist way, not the Methodist, not the non-domination way. We must do it the way of Christ. Now, we're going to look at this today, and I hope and pray that the Lord help me with this. But we have so many things today that we look upon. As individuals, we look to other people for certain things that come up in our lives. We look to the supervisors or the boss that we have on any job. We look to them for certain things while we're on a job. And not only that, but we look to our family, and we have family that makes suggestions to us, and we will heed. Sometimes we'll heed them suggestions, but a whole lot of times we won't heed the suggestions of the Lord. We won't obey the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, but we must. We must always listen. We must always turn our hearing aids on. And if we turn our hearing aids on, the spiritual hearing aids is what I'm speaking about, we can always hear from the Lord. We'll always hear from him by what means? By the Holy Spirit. Now we know that without the Holy Spirit, we do not have Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus, we don't have God. So we must have all three to do the right work. Do the work according to the Word of God. Do the work according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And do the work according to what the Master gives us to do. And we must remember that if we do as the Master asked us to do, then we should not even have to even worry about one thing, as long as we do what the Master asked us to do. Sometimes we'll do things, but a whole lot of times it's not of the Lord. It's not of the Holy Spirit, it's not of God. It's of the devil. Because you can argue all you want to, and I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. But I'll say this much. Besides the Lord God Almighty, and besides His Son, and besides the Holy Spirit, the next one that knows this Bible just as well as they do is Lucifer. Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Because, see, he was there when everything started. And he knew what God wanted at that time. So if he knew what God wanted, and what God wanted to happen, he kept it to himself. He did not share it with his angels there in heaven. Lucifer didn't. Because he kept it to himself, because he was kind of, you know, he's conniving, he's the father of lies and everything. He will lie to you and then turn around and make like it seems is coming from God. Now, you know, I've said before, we must try the Spirit. We must see how the Spirit and which Spirit we are serving. If we think maybe it's the devil's got any part in it at all, what we can do, we can claim the blood. We can claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we claim that blood there, then the devil will flee. Because he's not going to stick around as long as we're bragging about the blood. As long as we're bragging about God. He's not going to stand around, because he don't want to hear anything at all about the blood. Because he knows if he hears anything about the blood, he knows that he is already condemned. Now, I remember an illustration. A young preacher, doing one time, and at the church that I was going to at that time, and y'all probably know him. His name is Chris McGee. He's a pastor down at Bible Baptist Church in South Boston. And he had an illustration that, and he was trying to get the people to understand it. Because there was a whole lot of people in the church that day that were serving Satan, but yet they said they were serving God. And he used the illustration, and he asked four individuals to come up and stand in front of the church. And with that illustration, he says, "You're God. You're representing God." The first individual. The second individual was representing his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next individual that was representing there was the Holy Spirit. Now, you know that we cannot serve God, we cannot do anything for God, if we don't have all three. We've got to have all three. Y'all know that. I've told you, I've said that many times, and I'll stick with that until the day I go home. But then it was a fourth individual there. And he says, "This individual is Satan. And Satan wants to get a hold to you. Satan, he wants to get into your heart, he wants to get into your mind, and in your thoughts, and everything, every day. He wants you. He don't need nobody else. He wants you. He wants the Christian.
He's not looking for the sinner. He's not looking for the lost individual like it, because Satan, he wants the individual that's saved. That's who he wants. Because he can turn more people away from God by using the Christians to get his job done.
And Brother Chris, he says, you know, let's think on it this way. Here you are, you're in church, and you may think that you're saved, you may think that everything is going okay, but you're in church that particular day. Then that afternoon or the next week, you don't have the desire to go to church. You don't have the desire to go out and visit no one, invite anyone. You don't have no desire to go out there and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason you don't is because you don't have the love of God in your heart. Now we must have, if you're saved, all of that and everything, and you know that your name is written there in heaven, that is part of his blood that is locked away in your heart. But we have to let his love come out. We need to show people that we care about them. We don't know what they go through. They're going through all the heartaches that they can go through, because the devil, he's throwing everything at them. And the devil is throwing everything at me. He's throwing everything at you. Why does he do that? He does that so he can get us discouraged. And when he gets us discouraged, then what can he do? He knows as long as we're discouraged, that he can take the word and he can seem like that the word that he is speaking to people is coming from God. It's coming from the King James Book. Not coming from no NIV. No, like coming from the King James Book. That's where he gets us. We get to the point, I don't know what I'm doing. I went over there and I visited that family. I done went over and I've talked to them. And yet, seems like they just don't care. I tell you what. Sometimes we don't use the right words to the people. Sometimes we'll hold back on really touching the people's hearts. And the reason for that is, I believe, is that we don't want to hurt them. We don't want to get them upset. We don't want to make them to the point that they'll never even think about coming to church. But you know, I think we're thinking on the wrong thing that way. Because I had, the day that I got saved, that Monday afternoon, it's 7:15 when them three individuals come to my home. And I thank the Lord for them, because they didn't pull no punches. James Hughes, he did not pull no punches. He did not pull the first punch to where, if it was going to hurt me, if it was going to hurt me to the point that I would never speak to him again. He talked to me. He explained the Roman road to me. He explained everything to me. How much God loved me. And that if I was the only individual that was living, God would still love me and he would have still went to the cross. But then it was about that time, my wife went in there, and Christy, my daughter, went in there. She won't, my daughter won't, but 3 years old. Neither one of them went in there because they knew that if they come in there, it would distract me from what they was telling me, from what he was explaining to me. Well, here come my daughter running down the hall. She run down the hall, and when she run down the hall, she run into the den right there. And my wife, she come after my daughter. And this was at the point that, at the time that they was about ready to leave. Because I never made a decision. Harley didn't even speak to him. Brother James Hughes asked me, he asked me where I worked at, and I told him. And asked him where my wife worked at, and I told him. And he also asked me, did we have a babysitter to where we had to take our child to? And I said, yeah, I said, we had a babysitter. She was just right next door with my mother. But he come up with this scenario because he did not like the idea that I haven't even asked him anything at all about church or serving God at all. But he asked me this question. He didn't ask me. He spoke to me about this question, and he gave me the answer to it. He says, in the morning, when you and your wife, y'all leave to go to work, all three of y'all get in the automobile and y'all take the daughter to the babysitter. And here it is, you and your wife and your daughter. Your daughter's 3 years old. And he said, when you went to pull out in the highway, right here at the house, here come a vehicle over the hill, flying, and sideswiped you. And no doubt the car had been mangled up. You was hurt. Your wife was hurt, and your daughter was also hurt in the accident. They called a life-saving crew. He said, Donnie, he said, I want you to think about it now. He said, I'm not trying to say this to get you scared or anything. If you think about this scenario, you and your wife and your daughter, you got in your automobile under the carport. You backed out. You drive way into the turnaround spot, and then you went out the driveway, and you got to the highway. and you look both ways, and you pulled out. And when you pulled out, you heard something. An individual coming over the hill there, right here at the house. Sideswiped you. Life-saving crew comes. The life-saving crew pronounce you dead at the scene. Your wife, she's badly injured. And your daughter, she is injured. I want you to think about this scenario now. You've never made a decision. You never asked God to forgive you. You didn't ask God to save your soul. But the scenario is that they took your wife and your daughter to the hospital. Your daughter ends up dying. And he said, I want to ask you something. He says, do you love that little child? Do you love your daughter? Yes, I showed that I'd do anything in the world for her. I love her with all my heart. I love my wife with all my heart. I'd do anything in the world for both of them. He said, you think about that now. You just said that you'd do anything in the world for both of them. Think about that now. Your daughter and you going to be separated for eternity. Because your daughter's 3 years old. She's in the arms of the Father there in heaven. And you done died rejecting Jesus Christ. You in hell. You're going to be separated from your daughter. To never see her smiling face again. Won't you make a decision? He says, I just give you a scenario. But you know, that could literally happen. Just like I said. He said, my prayer is it that you and your family, none of y'all will ever be in an accident. But that's the only thing I can say is I hope and pray that you'll never be in an accident. He said, but I can't guarantee it. He said, because we're here one moment. Then before the next breath comes, we could be facing our immortality. We could be facing the place that we're going to spend eternity in. Where do you want to face it at? You want to face it in hell? I said, no, sir. He said, well, I'm going to pray with you again. And when he did that time, yeah, I mean, I got to thinking. I got to thinking of everything that I had to lose. But the main thing that I had to lose was the two that were so precious to me. And that's my wife and my daughter. And I was at the doorstep of losing both of them. Because I believe, and I'm not just saying it today because I'm saved, But the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit sent them three men my way. He sent Brother James Hughes my way that day. It's the Sunday school teacher at church. I mean, he just believed in the Word of God. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm not going to hold it back. And he done it. Time and time again, we'd go out on visitation, and I've heard him say the same thing. Use the same illustration. And I asked him one day, I said, I've noticed here lately, you use that illustration a whole lot. He said, which illustration are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about the parents and the child in the wreck, like you explained it to me. He said, you know something? God give me that. God will give you what you need to talk to the individual. And sometimes when you talk to them, and the way it comes out, it seems like that you don't have no love for them. You don't have no compassion for them at all. But you do. That night I come to see you that night, I didn't know you. I just seen you one time at church visiting. I didn't know your name till somebody give it to me. But he said, I'll tell you this much. He says, I don't know anything about you. I don't know what kind of husband you are. I don't know what kind of father you are. You may be the worst husband that there is in the city of Danville in Pennsylvania County. You may be the worst father that the state of Virginia has ever seen. But within thinking about that, I seen something that the Lord wanted me to go and talk to you. And that was the love that I had. Because see, the Father loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. And I tell you, that day, it gripped my heart. And yes, it did take me long to make a decision. It didn't take me long, yes, to cry to God and to save my soul. It didn't take long. And I did it. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life. Now the home that we have is a Christian home. That the people that live at that home at 465 Jenny Lane, Danville, Virginia, 24541, at that address, each one of us know the Lord as our personal Savior. And yes, I thank the Lord really today for both of them with my heart. But I won't tell you, one of the main reasons that I run from the Lord for so long there, after he started burning me down about pastoring and preaching, it's because I've seen what other preachers went through. I've seen what churches had done to them. And I said, Lord, I says, I just don't think I could handle that. He said, I'm not asking you to handle it. I will handle that. You just agree to do what I've asked you to do. And everything else will fall in place. The master. He's my master. He's my redeemer. He's my love life. He is my heartstring. He is the one that pulls at my heart when it gets sad, when it gets lonely. He pulls at my heart. And then he'll say, you just need to go out here and visit somebody. Just go out there and talk to them about me. And that's what he'll do. If you get to the point in your life, you think you're sad, you don't know which way to turn, just ask the Lord to help you. And he will. He'll give you somebody to call. Just to say, I miss you. I miss seeing your smiling face at church. I miss you. I miss all the good times. I miss all the good talks that we had. You know, it don't have to be all about when we're speaking or calling somebody or talking to them. It don't have to be all about we're talking about Christianity, talking about the church, and talking about God. We don't have to do all that all the time. God wants us to just talk to the individual and let them know what you miss from them. Oh, yes, maybe before they didn't speak kind to you or something like that. But you know something, we don't have to dwell on that. Because everybody's had some ups and downs. I've had some ups and downs myself. I've had some people that I could go to. And yes, in the past, we've had disagreements. But the Lord still asked me to go to them and just talk to them. And you'll come to find out that they have the same heartaches. They have the same loneliness that you have. It's not just me. I have them problems. Everybody has them problems. The Christian, they have the same problems. Because we hurt. These old bodies are wearing out. This body of mine is wearing out. And I still figure that I'm pretty well, overall, really healthy in a way. And I don't figure myself that old either. But my body is still wearing out. It's signs of it. It's signs of what I know that's causing the aches and the pains. But you can also see it also. You can see it on somebody else's life, what they're going through, what kind of pain and agony that they're going through. Because you know something, anybody, and I believe this, anybody that has a family. We all are going through something that we know nothing about. Why? Because see, family will disappoint us. And we'll disappoint the family. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, I will follow you. I will follow you until the end of life on this earth. He's the only one that we can follow to where we won't be hurt, to where we won't be disappointed in. Because he will never hurt us. He will never disappoint us. And he will never allow our heart to be broken for that long. Oh yes, our heart, it can be broken. We can be broken hearted over somebody else and somebody else's family. But he gives us a way out of that broken heartedness. You know what it is? Following the Lord Jesus' command. Following his command. Going to the people. And telling the people that you love them. That you'll do anything in the world you can for them. And I love each and every one of you, and I'll do anything in the world I can for you to make your life better. If I can. If I don't have the means, if I don't have the way to do it, I know the one that has the answer. I know the one that has all the ingredients that I need. The way your heart won't be broken. Where family won't break your heart. But family do break a heart. We are not to the point in our Christian life that where we're going to go through life selling above the people to where we don't experience some kind of heartache and some kind of disappointments. Christ, Jesus Christ, he's the one that takes a stand for each one of us. When Satan tries to attack me and try to get me from my prayer life and my reading of the Word of God and my meditation and doing things for God, Jesus will take a stand for me. Because we see it over in Luke. And I believe this is chapter 22. I think it is. Where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to Simon. He's saying, Simon, Simon. I have prayed for thee. I am praying for you that your faith will not falter, that your faith will not do you in, that your faith will continue to carry you through. So with that in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes a stand for me. He takes a stand for you against the devil and against all the devil's workers. You know, the devil, he had plenty of workers out here. And they faithful to his cause. But we can learn a whole lot from that if we'd just be faithful to the Lord's call. I don't know what's going to happen in the next day or two. I don't know what's going to happen in the next month or two, or the next year or two. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm looking and I'm expecting some great things to happen. Just because I expect it does not mean it's going to happen. But that's my expectation. Because I know I can't do it. It's nothing under the sun that I can do that will allow people to be able to come into this church. It's nothing that I can do. But I know one that wants to do it. I just have to be faithful to what he asked me to do. And then after I'm faithful in doing what he asked me to do, if I do it, then I'm not supposed to worry about it. I'm not supposed to think of it again. Only thing I'm supposed to do is just pray for him. Because a whole lot of times the reason things don't happen, the reason individuals don't get saved is because after we leave them and after we done prayed with them and after we done shared God's word with them and after we've given them the Roman road and how to get saved and how much God loves them and how much they mean to God, all of that. All of that comes down to one thing. When I go and I speak to people, when I talk to people, when I get in the plan of salvation and I leave the home, I'm supposed to leave at home with a clear conscience that I've done what God wanted me to do. And I've caught myself doing this. I said, Lord, I went in and I shared what you want me to share with them. Now, Lord, I'm going to leave it in your hands. You do what you have to do. But then a whole lot of times the problem comes in there, and I'm always the problem. Always come up. Start questioning my own self, did I say the right thing? Was their heart receptive to it? Or did I say something that was
some way that hurt them, that they don't want to come. See, when that happens, when I do that, then what the Lord's going to say, he says, son, he says, I know that you wouldn't talk to him before. I know that you even asked me. He says, Father, I'm going to leave it in your hands. You're going to have to take care of it. And see, I knew that when you told me that, you won't do that. That you were still going to worry about it. You're still going to think about it. And you're just going to question what words you said. When you forget about it, when you forget about what you're saying, when you forget about it, in their situation, you need to go with visit somebody else, and you need to go and explain the same thing to them. And when you explain it to them, then I will be over there working in the other individual's heart. And when you get through with them, you need to go to somebody else. You need to talk to them. And when you go and talk to them, then when I get through with this one, then I'll start talking to that one. I'm not the type of,
God's always speaking to me. He tells me, he says, I'm not that type of God. I'm not that type of God that's going to interfere with you. And he's not going to interfere with us. Because he's going to say, well, here I am. I need to go and talk. I need to really go and explain to them. I need to really touch their heart, is what God's saying. Well, yeah, Donnie, you still have it on your heart and your mind that they're not saved. You have it on your heart and your mind that will they ever get saved. I'm not going to go and interfere with you when you're talking to them and when you're speaking to them. So please don't go and interfere when I'm talking to them. That's the only way I can put it. God don't want us to interfere. But a whole lot of times we think that we can do it all. We can't do nothing. We can't do a thing. But I'm so glad that we have a master who will tell us the truth and tell us the way to do it. The right way to do it. Not him haw around and say, well, you can try this. Or you can try this. No. He says, you either do it my way or it's not going to get done. You say, well, wait a minute. Well, can God do it? Yeah, God can do it. He can do it. He can do it without me praying. He can do it without me going to him. But see, that's not his plan. That's not his plan from the beginning. His plan from the beginning was for us to go and share his word. That's the reason he was born in a cow stable. That's the reason he wasn't born in an inn. Because then we would say, what? Man, look at where he was born at.
He was born in a mansion.
He had a silver. I mean, he had the gold spoon and everything. He had everything handed to him right there.
Well, see, we can't say that, can we? We can't say that he had everything handed to him right there. We can't say that his mother and probably might have been his stepfather at the time had went. And they didn't talk to the keeper of the inn. They didn't stay there long enough and to really get in and just beg him. They didn't beg him and say, him, Joseph said, my wife, here's my wife. She's with child. And we need a place to where she can be able to lay down in comfort. No, they just wouldn't ask. You had any rooms? The innkeeper said, no, sir. We don't have any rooms. Says, everything is filled up around here. There's no rooms to where you can go anywhere but you. He said, is there any place that I can go and I can get out of good weather where my wife can lay down? Says, sir, the only place that I know of within the city is a building right down there. You see that building down there? He looks, Joseph looks. He said, yes, sir, I see you. He asked him, he said, what kind of rooms he got in there? No place for rooms. It is a pet stable, like where animals go and where they feed from the trough and where they drink the water out of the bucket. That's the only place we have that I can think of right now is out of the weather. Joseph said, well, you know it's coming up a storm, don't you? He said, yes. That's the reason I said something to somebody else. I don't want you to be in the weather.
They go there now. And she bows that child. Did she lay that child right there on the hay, the straw, right beside of her? No. Joseph took the child and laid that child on the straw that was in that box there that they call a trough, where the animals went to eat and to feed from. Why was he laid in the trough? Because he will soon be the bread of life for every soul. The bread of life. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we ask, Father, that you will go with us the remainder of this day, Father. Be with us this afternoon, Lord, as we come back here to the church. And Father, I pray, Lord, that what you give me this morning, yes, Father, touch my heart. And I thank you for that. My prayer is, Lord Jesus, help us, give us something that we can share with individuals. That where the individuals can sense our love and our compassion for them. And not only that, that they could see that our need for a Savior. Father, and help us as a church, help us as individuals. Lord, and if these individuals, if they happen to come to this church, Father, or if they happen to go to another church, wherever, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us. Father, to where we can minister to them, where we can lift them up with encouragement, Father. Father, because we're all here today, Father. Yes, and I'd love to see people start coming in here to church, at Faith Baptist Church. I would love to see people coming in and hearing the gospel. And then they'd come to an old-fashioned altar and they'd cry to God. And they'd repent of their sin. And they would confess to the Lord Jesus the life that they've been living. That they want a closer walk with you, Lord. Father, we know also, Father, there's individuals out here that are saved. But yet, Father, they've got away from you. They've got away from your church house. They've got away from where your word is being preached and where you are being lifted up. So, Father, I'm asking today, would you please go and speak to the people that we've spoken to? And, Father, that you may be able to draw them into this church. Father, that you can draw them in to where we can have more individuals come in. And, Father, that where new people will come in. And, Father, where people will get saved. And, Father, no, we won't have to go through another year without having to use the baptistry, Lord. Father, because it's been too long since the baptistry has been used. Father, help us, O Lord. You know where our help is needed. You know what we need help with, Father. And Father, I'm just asking for thy help upon my own life. Upon the lives of the people that's here in the church. And Father, and I will not worry about it because I'm going to let you handle it. Father, these are some your choice people. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing each one of us that's here today that we could be connected together in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.